Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to the book of 1 John. 1 John tonight. And again, if you need a handout, they're on the back table there. And that'll help you follow along with the Bible study tonight. But last week, we began our series here in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, looking at the overall thought of that you may know, that you may know. And as way of a small recap, we said that the key verses, of course, of 1 John, at least they were found there in chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And we focused in last week on two key words of 1 John, and that is the word love. And we said that is used 46 times in the book of 1 John. And its first use is there in chapter 2 and verse number 5. And its most significant use, or its most important use, is found in chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But then the second word we focused in on, and this is the word that we really, that is really the main purpose of John writing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and that's the word know. And John would use that word 38 times here in 1st John. First, of course, in chapter 2 and verse 3, and then in chapter, its most important use in chapter 5 and verse number 13. And ultimately, the theme that we said that was the theme of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John was that of fellowship. And I tried this week thinking of a good definition for the word fellowship, and I remembered an old pastor, he once put it this way, and I wrote it down there on your handout, but it said, fellows in the same ship. Fellows in the same ship. In other words, they are people that have things in common. That's what fellowship is. And tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what all of us have in common tonight. And it doesn't matter where you are age-wise, young, old. It doesn't matter where you are socially. It doesn't matter where you are economically. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and I know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what gives us our fellowship. And tonight we again focus on this thought of that you may know. And the thing that we want to see tonight that we may know is our relationship to the Father. Our relationship to the Father. And so you're there in 1 John, and I thought of ways that we could do this. And I think we're going to try at least to, now I know next chapter 2, is a little bit longer. It's 29 verses, and so, but I'm going to try and cover a chapter a week, and but we'll see how that goes. But you're there, 1 John chapter number 1, and notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, for we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so here in 1 John chapter 1, we see right off the bat, because again, the reason that John wrote these letters was to confront a group of people that they were infiltrating the church with a heresy by saying that you needed a higher knowledge, something other than Jesus Christ in order to have eternal life. And so right here off the bat in chapter 1, what John is doing is he is presenting to us the reality of Christ. He's presenting to us the truth that Christ is real and that Christ is all we need. Christ is everything. Christ is, I mean, it begins with him and it ends with him. And so right off the bat, that's what John is trying to get us to see here in 1 John. And he does so by talking about how God is life and God is light and how that is manifested or made known in Christ in verses 1 and 2. And then, of course, we see the purpose, again, of the reason John is writing this. And then we see the conditions of fellowship in verses 5 through 10. But tonight we're thinking about and looking at our relationship to the Father. Our relationship to the Father. And here's the truth tonight, that before Jesus Christ, you and I had no relationship with God the Father. Our relationship as we knew it with God the Father was not existent because we had sin that separated us from God the Father. We could not get to him because of that gap of sin. And so the Father had to make a way for us to get from that end of the chasm to that side of the chasm while there's this big gap in between. And he did that through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sent him to die on the cross for your sins and my sins, be placed in the grave, and 3 days later, rise again. And so that is how we come to have this relationship with the Father. But prior to that, there was no relationship. But here's what we want to see tonight in regards to our relationship to the Father. And it's understood tonight, again, this epistle is written to Christians and to believers and those who know Christ as their Savior. And so this Bible study is really for those who know Christ, who are believers, who are Christians, who are his children. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that, then none of what we're going to look at right now applies to you until you first have a relationship with the Father, and you get that relationship by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to forgive you of your sins. But the first thing we want to see now, and it's going to be in verse number 3. Notice verse number 3 there, if you would. The Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So now, thinking about the theme of 1 John tonight, and the theme is there on your paper. Your first fill in the blank, number 1, blank with the Father. Who wants to guess that word?
Fellowship.
Fellowship, that's right. So, we see our relationship to the Father. Number 1 is our fellowship with the Father. And we begin to have that fellowship when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That fellowship that was once broken, that fellowship that was once non-existent, is now restored when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice what it says there, that which we have seen and heard. declare we unto you, that ye may also, or that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. And so we see that they heard this from verses 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning. Now that phrase there, that which was from the beginning, is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. And notice there, verses 1 through... Let's do verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. You notice how the word "word" is capitalized. It's with a capital W. That's referring to Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Of course, talking about creation. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You remember last week, we said two of God's defining characteristics in 1 John was that God is light and that God is life. The third, of course, is God is love. But we see here it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then you notice, you go back to 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Backing up there to verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And how did they see it? How did they hear it? They heard it from the beginning. They heard it from Jesus Christ Himself. He was Christ eternal. They had experience and witnesses. They had Christ, the very living Word. And so we have fellowship with the Father now that we have put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's all we have to do in order to be saved, is to put our faith and our trust in Christ. We don't need any superior knowledge. We don't need any higher knowledge or higher power or, you know, anything along those lines. If you have Christ, then you have enough. If you have Christ, you have all you need to be saved. If you have Christ, you have all you need for eternal life. But with that being said, I want us to see tonight three words about fellowship. Three words about fellowship. And that's your letter A there on your paper. Three words about fellowship. And notice there, if you would, verses 6 and 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So here we have three words about this fellowship with the Father. Number one, we see its basis. We see its basis, and that's walking in light. If we're going to have fellowship with the Father, then because He is light, then as Christians, we too must walk in that same light. We cannot as Christians say, okay, I'm a Christian and I want to walk after God and I want to walk after Jesus, but still want to live in the world and still want to live in darkness and still want to, kind of straddle the fence a little bit. Have one, dip one toe in the swimming pool and then one foot in the jacuzzi. It doesn't work that way. You can't do both. You either get in the swimming pool or you get in the jacuzzi. You either get in the swimming pool or you get in the hot tub. You can't do both. And that's what John is trying to teach us here, is that if you're going to have fellowship with the Father, then you need to walk in the light. There is a basis for this fellowship, and that's walking in light. And we see that there in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. But not only do we see the basis for the fellowship, but secondly, we see the barriers of fellowship. What prevents us from having fellowship with the Father? What prevents us from having fellowship with Christ? And it's simple. Walking in sin. Walking in sin. Verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so what John is saying here is that, okay, if you say you truly have fellowship with the Father, but you're still walking in sin, then what you're doing is that you have a dark way, you have a sinful walk, you have a spiritual darkness about you, you perhaps made a false profession, and that's all it was profession without possession, and he's saying here that we walk in darkness. Because, I mean, and we all know people, and perhaps we've been guilty of it at some point in our Christian life where we say, okay, I want fellowship with God, I want fellowship with Jesus, but I still want to live my life the way I want to live my life and just kind of use that relationship as a get out of sin free card or get out of hell free card or whatever the case may be. And John here is saying, no, listen, you're going to create a barrier between yourself and the Father. You're going to create a barrier between yourself and the Savior if you are walking in sin. And there's only two possible explanations for it. Either number one, you're backslidden, or you were never saved to begin with. And again, we know both sides of the coin, backslidden Christians and those who, they sit in church pews all their life and yet they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. And when they stand before Jesus one day, he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that's a scary thought. And so we see these barriers. It's walking in sin. We cannot say we have fellowship with the light if we're still trying to meddle in the darkness. If we're still trying to walk in the darkness. But then we see the benefits of this fellowship. We see the benefits of this fellowship, and that's fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. And you notice it again there, verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so now, once we're saved, once we're in proper fellowship, one of the benefits that we have of that fellowship is now, yes, we have fellowship with God. Yes, we have fellowship with Christ, and now we have fellowship with fellow believers. Now we have fellowship with fellow Christians. And so we see that this fellowship has with it, again, conditions. And we could really sum up these conditions in two things. Number one, walking in the light. And number two, confession of sin. Keep short sin accounts. Walk close to God. It's as simple as that. You want your fellowship to be what it should be with God? Walk close to Him. You want your fellowship to be what it should be with Him? Keep short sin accounts. Listen, you know, we come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and you know, we have time for prayer and whatever. And listen, we give an altar call, but you don't have to come to the altar. You can, you know, right where you are, when we have prayer time, you can say, you know, you can have your own little personal prayer time right where you are and say, okay, Lord, you know what? Here's where I messed up this week. Here's where I had a bad thought. Here's where I had a bad attitude. Here's where I had a bad spirit. Lord, I said this when I shouldn't have. I did this when I shouldn't have did that. I didn't do that when I should have done that. And, and you can have those moments with God right where you are and say, Lord, all right, tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a, you know, it's like, who was it? Annie, the sun will come up tomorrow. You know, and that's true. That tomorrow is a new day. Should the Lord tarry and He doesn't come back tonight, tomorrow's a new day and a new day. You know what? Maybe today, you know, you weren't your best self as a Christian. Maybe today, you know, you just, I don't know. Maybe you just let the flesh win today. Maybe you let Satan win the day. But tomorrow's a new day. And tomorrow you can say, you know what? In the book of James, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, not today, Satan. And you can allow God to have His will and His way on that new day. But if we want fellowship, we need to walk close to Him. And we need to keep those short sin accounts. But so we see fellowship with the Father there in verse number 3. Then notice, if you would, verse number 4. Verse number 4. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. And so the second thing we see tonight is not only fellowship with the Father, but secondly, anyone want to take a shot at that word? No. Nope. Anyone want to give it another shot? Fullness. Fullness. The fullness of the Father. Remember, John's writing this letter because the heretics of the day, they're creeping in and saying, Jesus isn't enough. You need more than Jesus to have fulfillment in your life. But the truth of the matter tonight is that when you put your faith and your trust in Christ, you have the fullness of the Father. You have all of Him that you possibly can get. And you notice what it says here, that your joy may be full. John wants you to know that God wants you to have a spiritual fullness. He wants you to have a spiritual joy. And the only way you're going to have that is by having a relationship with the Father. And the only way you get that relationship is by putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when you do, man, there, you know, you've heard us talk often about how before we got saved, you know, we felt as if there was something missing in our life. But now when we got saved, that emptiness has been filled. And what has it been filled by? It's been filled by the Father. It's been filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been filled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we see fellowship with the Father. We see fullness of the Father. Then thirdly tonight, notice there if you would, verse number 9. Verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So number 3, we see the blank of the Father. The blank of the Father. Anyone have an idea of what that is? Forgiveness. Not yet. Holiness. Huh? Holiness. Nope.
Faithfulness.
Faithful.
faithful. Faithfulness. That's right. The faithfulness of the Father. And this is the part I preach on this a lot because I love it a lot. Because I find myself needing it, you know, almost on a daily basis. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's faithful. You know, how many times have we struggled in life, and maybe even in our Christian life, or even before we got saved with, and I'll give you an example of this. I remember we were in Oklahoma, and this couple came out to church, and they had questions about salvation, like real questions about salvation. So after church, we took them out to McDonald's, and we sat down. And we're talking, we're answering their questions to the best of our ability. And we go through the plan of salvation with them. We show them all the verses in the Bible on how to be saved, why we need to be saved, how we're all sinners. And they agree with it all. And so at the end, I say, all right, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior today? And I remember it clear as day, the lady looked at us and said, no, not today. And I was taken back because I said, well, why not? What's wrong? And I remember the answer was, well, I just don't think God could save me. And she didn't go into details of as to why. All she alluded to was things she had done in the past. And she just thought there was no way God could save her. And I wonder how many of us, you know, whether before salvation or after salvation, now that we are Christians, you know, maybe we do something and we think, man, there's just no way God could forgive us. Well, we have this promise from John here that if we confess our sins, He is faithful. And if we confess our sins, He will forgive us. He will. And all we have to do is be willing to confess that sin to Him and ask Him for that forgiveness. But we see the faithfulness of the Father. But then fourthly and finally, and it's there in verse number 9 again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And so fourthly and finally, we see fellowship with the Father, fullness of the Father, faithfulness of the Father. And then fourthly, anyone want to guess that last word? Nope. Forgiveness. That's right. Forgiveness of the Father. There we go. Forgiveness of the Father. And these last two, they go hand in hand. He's faithful, but He's faithful to forgive. If we confess our sin, then there is a pardon that is promised. But here's the problem. You know, remember I mentioned that lady and us that sometimes says, you know, there's just no way that God could forgive us because of maybe things we've done in the past. But then there's a second group of people. And that second group of people is there in verse number 10. And it's where they say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, talking about God, a liar, and His word is not in us. There's a spiritual pride there. There's a hypocrisy. There's a spiritual destitution because, and there are people out there today, they believe, you know what? No, I've never sinned once in my life. I have never done anything wrong. We've all done things wrong. Listen, today we probably did something that could be considered sin. You know, we're all in that same boat. Walter knows what I'm talking about.
At least he's honest.
That's right. But we're all there. And listen, both of those things are pride, by the way. Both of them are pride. There's no way God can forgive me. That's pride. That's limiting God by saying there's something God cannot do. But then the second group is pride as well by saying, oh no, you know what? I don't need God. I don't need his forgiveness. I remember I used an illustration years ago, and I'm going to butcher it because I don't have it written down, but basically the effect it was, a gentleman went to a preacher and said to the preacher, you know, when someone wrongs me, I never forgive. And the preacher just looked back at him and said, well, I then hope that you never sin. Because we all need forgiveness at some point. All of us need that forgiveness. And that comes from the faithfulness and the forgiveness from the Father. And when we have this fellowship, this fullness, this faithfulness, this forgiveness, this is what makes up our relationship now to the Father. And listen, sometimes that relationship can get strained. You know, it's no secret that it's referred to, and God is referred to as the Father, because it's a picture also of our earthly, you know, our relationship with our earthly parents, our mothers, our fathers, and so forth. Because, you know, and I can attest to it growing up. You could probably attest to it growing up that, you know, there were times when, you know, we didn't always see eye to eye with our parents. And I remember Monday night. It was Monday night, wasn't it? Or Tuesday night. One of these nights. The nights are running together anymore. But it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30. Mandy had ran the Walmart for something. And she comes home and I hear her talking on the phone. And it was my dad. Like 10:30 at night. Huh? It was last night. 10:30 at night. And so he, you know, Mandy comes in and she's putting things away, handing me something. And I'm just listening to my dad, you know, tell his stories and stories I've heard a million times before. And then he goes to say this. He says, okay, long story short, keep in mind they've been on the phone for 45 minutes up to this point. But long story short, and so I get on the phone and say, Dad, it's 10:30. Long story short. And so he and I, you know, we go back and forth with each other, you know, busting each other's chops and whatnot. Is that hereditary? It is.
Oh, and with this?
Yes. And, you know, there's a meme that goes around and it's a picture of a cat kind of exasperated. It says, and when the pastor says in closing for the fifth time. And, But growing up, you know, sometimes that relationship with our parents gets strained. But that doesn't mean they're not our dad. That doesn't mean they're not our mom. It just means at that moment, you know, say we do something and they have to punish us. Well, that relationship is strained. And it's not what it was before that, you know, straining. But eventually, the two come back together. And that's the same thing with the Father. Sometimes our fellowship and our relationship isn't what it ought to be, but it can come back to it and be what it ought to be when we walk close to him, we keep those short sin accounts, and we heed his chastisements, we heed his instructions, we heed his warnings. And this is the very first thing that John wanted the church here to know, was that they have a relationship with the Father made possible through Christ. And that was enough. That was all they needed. They didn't need this superior knowledge or this higher knowledge. Christ was enough, and he was real, and that relationship was real, that fellowship was real, that fullness was real, that faithfulness was real, and that forgiveness was real, and it's all found in Christ. And that's what he wanted them to know tonight. Let's pray.